Welcome to the Redacted Apostate Podcast. My name is Nicole.
And I'm Carl.
And today we're going to talk about the Chad Daybell trial in Ada County, Idaho. So we're kind of, I don't even know how far along we are in this trial. It's day five. At least right now. Last time we talked, we didn't know what he was going to do or how he was going to defend himself. And now we kind of have a really good idea after opening arguments. And now we're at day five, how he's defending himself.
I'm trying to remember last podcast, if you had said that he was going to throw her under the bus. I think that was the question.
Well, the last podcast was more about my mother.
Yeah.
And her hollowness and how these women like Lori Vallow Daybell, we got to come up with a name for her. And the other one, Ruby Frankie, have that same air about them like my mother does. And so that was kind of the vast majority. We really didn't know what Chad Daybell was going to do or how the trial was going to go. And so now we're on day five and we have a good idea of the trial. And I want to start out with one of the detectives, Detective Wheeler, and this man is made of steel. He is really a strong, strong man because they had just discovered the body of one of the children and they had him in the back of his squad car ready to take him to jail, and he didn't beat the ever living crap out of him.
Yeah.
Like I just, you know, when as Detective Wheeler was testifying, I was like, how in the world did he hold it together and not? They had been looking for these children for weeks.
And kept asking the Daybells over and over again, where are the children? Where are the children? And they're like, oh, they're safe.
Right.
You know, and Chad knowing that they weren't safe.
And they were in the back in his backyard.
Yep.
And Detective Wheeler didn't beat the shit out of him, which was kind of amazing. I don't have that. I think I would have lost it on him.
Yeah.
I don't think I would have been professional.
I'm not sure what happened to the suspect, sir. I was driving him and all of a sudden he was just gone.
Yeah. Something happened to this
Something
man.
Happened. So I'll fill out the paperwork later.
Yeah. I don't know. As he's testifying, I'm just like, oh, wow, this is just...
I think I heard him on the stand as well when I came in. And you could tell that the defense was trying to pull certain information from him that was, you know, very leading towards, oh, you know, Chad had nothing to do with it. To do with the trial, with the killings.
His defense attorney is doing a really good job. Mm-hmm. So in Lori Vallow Daybell's trial, they didn't have cameras, and all I got was an end-of-day synopsis from streamers who kind of gave an overview of what happened. You could go listen to the audio tapes, but it was really hard to listen to those audio tapes. There was long silences. It just wasn't pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
So we were really relying on what streamers and reporters were saying what was happening.
Interpretation.
Yeah. So there was a lot missed. And you couldn't see her mannerisms or how she was reacting to certain evidence. There was a lot missing. All we got was the final sentencing when she went crazy.
Do we know why there was no video? Wait a minute, didn't they give them the option? Or am I thinking of the other trial? Where they said, do you want a camera in here? And you could answer yes or no. I remember that being a part of the trial, was that they actually asked the defendant, do you want a camera in?
Mm.
And they could answer yes or no.
No, I don't know. But in this case, and then last week when it started, the audio and the visual was really terrible. And then over the weekend, they upgraded it. Somebody made a really funny comment. They were like, man, the O.J. Simpson trial was much better than this one. And that was 30 years ago. Like, what happened?
Well, that was L.A. too. So, you know.
In L.A., they've got just the fancy cameras everywhere.
Everywhere, yeah.
They've got the hover cameras already. recording your
right.
life.
Right.
And the difference was Ada County, they did their own audiovisual. Mm-hmm. And in the O.J. Simpson, it was done by the network, by CNN or somebody, some network professionals.
What was the one that covered? I remember there was one that covered it. It was like the Court TV. That's what it was.
Probably, yeah. And so they had professional cameras and cameramen coming mm-hmm. in and doing the whole thing.
Because it was like the trial of the century kind of thing. Yeah.
Well, this one's a big trial, mm-hmm. but they upgraded. Whatever happened over the weekend, they really improved it. But his defense attorney is really good. He's really good. And he is literally throwing everyone under the bus. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, but Chad is through his defense attorney. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, that's not what I wasn't expecting too much past that, you know, in my mind. He seems like the kind of guy, you know, it's what grifters do, right? Is as soon as they're attacked or they're found out, they instantly start pointing fingers at everybody else. Mm-hmm. And it's all the people around him that are just like, oh, no, I totally agree. I believe in this. This is true. This is the real thing. And he's like, oh. So you'll take the fall for me. Okay, great. Mm-hmm. That's what it feels like to me anyways, looking on the outside in on it.
I think they're trying to do that, but it's not going to be successful. I mean, they found it's...
Yeah, I know.
It's just not... It's.
But I mean, you do... There's always a way of excusing things outside of reality, right? Mm-hmm. And it's not so much whether it's the true or not, it's whether or not... remember, it has to be reasonable doubt to convict him, you know? So if they have enough doubt that goes, yeah, it was his property, but his property is huge and a lot of people had access to it. And if they were trying to set someone up, like, oh, here's this guy that's running this kind of offshoot, you know, and he keeps talking all this weird stuff. Oh, man, I can bury a body out on his land and he'll get the fall for it, you know? I'm just saying, I'm not saying that it's right. I'm just saying that that is a possibility. And what matters most is whether the jurors believe it or not based on the evidence.
I can't imagine coming into this trial, not knowing anything and having to, there's so many people. I mean, today's evidence was all financial mm-hmm. and where the money was and who was getting what money and how do you follow that as a juror? I mean, the jurors are smart. They'll figure it out at the end of the day. But right now it must be just confusing, overwhelming with all these names. And we've been following this since 2019. And even I get confused with the names and the people and who died, who didn't die, who is attempted murder.
You need to have a board with all the strings right, attached. I mean, seriously.
I do. Yeah, because when... The children went missing. Before the children went missing, there was an attempted murder on somebody's ex-husband right. who was fighting for custody mm-hmm. in Arizona. So the Arizona police were actually following them and they were under surveillance. And then, so they were already under surveillance and then they were notified that the children went missing. Mm. So I think eventually all of this would have caught up to them because the police were on them.
Right.
And then once they were notified that the children were missing in this circle and they started piecing all the dots together, then that's when everything kind of exploded. But the Arizona police, they were there. They were in, I don't know if they were there in Idaho or if they were... had the Idaho police. I don't remember those like little details, but
right.
they were monitoring and tracking them. And one of the things one of the detectives said is that Chad was lying. Every time they would talk to Chad, he would lie to them. And
he also lied on camera too when, you know, reporters and
no, he never talked on camera ever.
I thought that they would say that, like, you know, the children are safe or whatever.
They didn't say anything.
Oh, wow.
They never said. Yeah. They didn't say nothing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so it's not that, but when he talked to police, he was always lying to them. Mm-hmm. And that made me think about the cult that I was raised in. Mm-hmm. Because they used to say, oh, we're Christian. There was a Christian apocalyptic group. And we follow God's rules, mm-hmm. except when they don't fit our rules.
Yeah.
And there were certain circumstances where you were expected to lie mm. to protect the organization. And it was, they had some name. I wish I could remember the name of it, but it was like going to battle for Jesus or mm. Jesus battle or something. But right. essentially what it meant was you could lie to protect a member of the church or the organization as right. a whole. And that made me think of Chad, and that's exactly what he was doing. He was lying because Jesus gave him the authority to lie.
Right.
To whoever.
Right.
He had the ultimate authority of life or death. And at that point the police are like, we can't believe anything this guy says. And then they found the bodies on his property and
right.
It was all over. One of the things the defense attorney is doing is not only is the wife have this long history of dead bodies behind her, even before she met Chad.
Which wife are you referring to? His current wife.
Or I don't know. Yeah. Lori Vallow.
Lori, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So she's been like, this is like her 29th marriage. I mean, she's been married a ton of times. And both of the children's dads are dead. And one was deliberately killed by her brother.
Yes. I remember that one.
She's in Arizona currently waiting trial for that one. And then another one of her husbands mysteriously died also. And that was the daughter's after she had spread lies about him sexually abusing all of them.
Wow.
And so not only has she been married, all this, and I think Mormons really have issues with that.
Which part about all of that?
Right.
That's a lot of really weird bad things, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, the marriage, the murdering, the attempted murdering, the lies, I mean, like which part would, because I would imagine any church would have a problem with all of that.
All of it, yeah. I don't know. I think the multiple husbands.
That's a kind of a deal, you know?
I mean, in other religions, they don't care if you get divorced, but, and then, you know, you just move on to someone new.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's why these guys ended up dead. I don't know.
No idea.
I don't know. It's so hard to know what goes on in Crazy Head.
Yeah.
What is going on in that brain?
Well, I mean, you know, the question is, do you really want to know?
No.
Do you really want to put yourself into that headspace?
Ugh, no.
My answer is no.
No.
Yeah.
So he is, the attorney for Chad, mm-hmm. is really saying it's her fault. She's the one. She was, in his opening statements, he said, essentially, to paraphrase, Chad was such a good guy. He only had a traffic ticket. Was a great father, was only married to one woman, and then he met her.
Dun, dun, dun.
And then that's when everything went crazy. So, but she's got this history.
I mean, he's technically right.
Oh, he's totally right. But not like, I think what they're going to show is that Chad was looking to cheat on his wife, and he was looking for an excuse. And, you know, he's just a, God, he's so gross.
Well, what I think is great is that the live stream that you're watching, they keep every time they show his face, they put the slimes and the snails or slugs on there. So they're just like, oh. And I think one of the comments was he looks like Chet from Weird Science when he turned into the slug monster as well. It's like, oh my God.
That is too funny. He's a mumbler too. So you can't understand anything he's saying. He's got like marbles in his mouth. He's unintelligible gobbledygook when he speaks. He's so gross.
I wonder if that's on purpose though. Like, cause I think they were playing this, tape of like some prayer or
right,
something like
right.
that.
Blessing. It was a blessing.
Yeah. He was quiet, but he wasn't mumbling so much then. Yeah, I don't know if I caught that or not, but so are you saying that is it the playback of the testimony that you're hearing? Because he hasn't been on stand, right?
Oh yeah, he hasn't.
Okay. Right. Because if he goes on stand, they have to, they're allowed to cross-examine at that point.
Well, so they had him in the back of the police car and they showed all this and you could barely understand. And he's talking to his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't understand anything. And 99% of the conversation with his daughter when he was in the back of the police car was logistics, all logistics.
Hmm.
How do you pay the mortgage? Where's the money? How are you going to be able to get me money when I'm in jail?
Why?
That's it.
Why would you go over those details?
Because he said to her in the small percentage where they actually talked about something non-functional related, he said, I'm not coming back.
Yeah. Oh, okay. But if you're innocent,
mm-hmm.
your first thought is, I'll be out soon because this is BS.
Exactly. No, none of that. None of that. His comment to her was, I won't be coming back. Here's all the logistical things that need to be done. Mortgage, monies.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty big red flag for me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I was a lawyer in that, that would be one of my big things to go to. Because you don't, I mean, I know, and I want to preface this, that I know that everybody treats trauma, anger, all of the emotions different from everybody else, right? So I don't want to say that nobody reacts this way. But I've never seen anybody react that way. That wasn't guilty. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I won't be coming back. I mean, it was pretty shocking that he said that. And then the whole conversation was, and the family, they're just as weird as he is. I mean, ugh, so gross. I mean, can you imagine? I just, you know, I grew up with not so great parents, obviously, and a not so great dad. And if I found out that my father had buried children in our yard,
yeah.
I mean, you just don't know how you would react, but
I'm pretty sure that, so let's put this in a perspective that's a little closer because you're basically, I know where you're coming from this standpoint, from a person that you really don't care about and, you know, deep down
mm-hmm.
care about, and that's kind of created this really terrible childhood of yours. And then on top of all of that being, oh, you murdered a family and buried him in the backyard. I mean, I think for you, it's really simple. I don't like you. And now I really don't like you.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. You know, I don't want anything to do with you. And that didn't change. So put into a different perspective, what would be like if you found out I did that? Like, I killed two kids and put them in the back seat, right? You know, in the back seat, in the back of the yard, right? So it's different when you actually care for somebody. But if there was even a suspicion that I did that and there was a shred of evidence, like even slight, you'd be like, I'm done with you.
Mm-hmm.
In a heartbeat. I know you would be like, I'm done.
Yeah, I don't even know how you would react in that, but how they react.
Oh, you'd just, be, but yeah, you'd be angry, but you'd
I'd
still
be angry.
You'd get information from me. You'd still talk to me just to get information.
So like, maybe that's what she was doing, but they said, she's going to be testifying for him. So, I mean, that makes sense, right? If your dad buried two children mm-hmm. in your yard mm-hmm. and then they went and moved into that house. They're still living there today, apparently.
Okay.
Allegedly. Like, how gross is that?
That is really gross. Actually.
That is so gross.
Yeah.
How could you live in a house that you're... Well,
take that out. Don't say, like, how can you live in a house that had two buried children
yeah.
next to it? Just that alone. It's like, I'm done. You know, like, I couldn't... like, one of my fears is just having, like, you know... like someone buried a body in our backyard like 50 years ago or something like that. You know, yeah. like that's a scary thought for me.
Well, we found out years later that we lived across the street from one of the crime scenes from the Atlanta child murderers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
yeah. And we were like, oh, wow. That was like literally feet away from where we were living.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was still disgusting and just mm-hmm. like, ugh. You know, like.
It's horrible.
You know, and that was happening, I think, before I was even born.
Yeah.
So Yeah, I try. One of the things that I, whenever I hear this weird information, I try to take out their story and I just try to put it into my own story, right? So, like if someone, like if the police came by and said, oh yeah, you buried two bodies, I'd be like, well, first of all, you know, my wife hasn't dug a hole in the backyard since we've moved here. So there might be a little bit of, but if there was starting to be a little bit of evidence, I'd be like, okay, you're going to be you're gone. You need to give me all the information I can and good luck.
So that's, you know, exactly what happened mm-hmm. in that police video.
Mm-hmm.
He was giving her all of the information.
Yeah. And was she asking him for the information or was he just, did I he just, yeah.
I don't remember.
And that's where all that stuff matters to me is if she came up to him and said, okay, bye, you're gone, so you need to give me all this information so I can continue to live, or was it, I'm going away forever, by the way, here's how you pay the mortgage because, you know, I don't want the house taken away from us, you know, from you or whatever. You know, it's all about which came first and who asked the question. But
I don't know.
But you know, the other thing too is, you know, you said that she's going to be testifying for him.
Apparently, yeah.
But that's not necessarily a bad thing either because it's like a character thing. Did you ever see your father kill anybody? No. You know, did you ever see him do this? No. Did you ever see him do this? No. So, you know, it's valid. It's valid testimony.
Yeah.
And if she never saw that stuff, she might not believe it.
I don't think they do. I don't think they believe it at all. It's really hard. And I think they have such cognitive dissonance mm-hmm. that they just can't, they can't wrap their heads around the cult and these beliefs and the dehumanization of everyone. Right. It's probably just too much.
I mean, who would think that a failed author would, you know, start a cult and kill people?
Let me see. L. Ron Hubbard, let's go down the list.
He didn't kill anybody. Come on.
He didn't kill anyone.
Come on. He didn't kill a single person.
He didn't shove anyone off the Sea Org boat. Never.
We don't have any evidence of that.
There's no evidence of any of that. We'll see where this goes. So he is, one of the things the attorney is doing in the last 4 days is not only throwing her under the bus, saying Chad's life was so great until he met her. And then he's saying that the brother who died,
mm-hmm.
that the brother was the one that did all this.
Yeah.
And then they have these two crazy friends that were part of this cult named Melanie and David. And the two of them, the attorney is saying, they were there when the children were murdered.
Mm.
And they're the murderers. So basically, I don't think he's saying that Lori was the murderer. I think he's saying that the brother was the murderer. And that Melanie and David were the murderers of the children. Because it's very clear the children were murdered.
Mm-hmm. What's interesting to me, though, is that they're not bringing in Lori for any evidence.
Well, they might. I don't know. That would be fascinating if they did.
Well, they have to call those witnesses ahead of time, typically in a murder trial.
Yeah, none of that is available to the public.
Mm, okay.
So I no idea if they do. One of the interesting things that came out too was that the brother, Alex, there's so many people to keep
so,
up with.
So whose brother?
Lori Vallow, Daybell's brother.
Got it.
Alex.
Mm-hmm. You can just say Lori for short. You can just say Lori for short.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to call her. Gross woman. My mother. Someone who's like my mother.
Yeah.
So Alex Googled how to fire some kind of gun. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what it was in cold weather. So remember Arizona? It's really so complicated. These people, mm-hmm. They were just like idiots with their tails cut off. So
what does that mean?
I have no idea. You're an idiot with your tail cut off. Don't you know?
Jeez. Apparently.
So Alex took Tylee, the daughter's Jeep, down to Arizona and shot at that man.
Yes.
The ex-husband.
Yes.
Which triggered the Arizona police to be, what the fuck?
Right.
then drove that Jeep back and missed him. Mm-hmm. And then that guy was like, oh my God. And I think about him and his children, because he went into hiding immediately after. I remember that back in the day.
Right.
Like, he went into hiding because he knew where this was heading. And if he would not have done, like, the potential that they killed those children too, yeah, was there also. So he took his children, went into hiding. And then Alex, the brother, took the Jeep and drove to Idaho and then shot at Chad's wife. But the gun didn't fire.
Right.
So she called 911 and said, there's somebody out here with a paintball gun that's roaming the neighborhood. But that was Alex. And I think evidence is going to come out where they were able to pinpoint his cell phone on the night, mm-hmm, there with that Jeep. Because I'm pretty sure they have the Jeep data and they have the cell phone data tracking to show where everyone was.
Right.
So they attempted.
So he was 2-0.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
So he went and Googled why his gun wasn't working in cold weather.
It's like an air gun. That's what it sounds like.
I don't know. They said it, but I wasn't really. Yeah. I don't know stuff like that, so I don't really care. So he had already attempted to kill the dude in Arizona that was an ex-husband of somebody in this cult,
mm-hmm,
and then kill her, Chad's wife.
Right.
And then when that didn't work, so dude went into hiding with the kids and filed a police report, and then she didn't die, and then days later is when she died, mysteriously died.
Mysteriously.
Mysteriously died.
Wow.
So they're going to say that one of the things that the defense attorney is saying is that it was natural causes that she died.
So wait a minute. There's been an autopsy, I'm assuming?
They did. And that's another weird thing about this whole story. Why she wasn't immediately cremated.
Oh, like, by the daybells?
By the daybells, mm, yeah. Like, why did they bury her?
So...
And I don't think Mormon, and this is where I don't know where Mormons believe, yeah, like, if cremation's bad or not. So maybe that's part of it.
Well, I get a feeling, this is just my gut feeling telling me this, that they thought that they were on the right. So,
oh yeah,
if you're on the right, you don't need to cover evidence. That's why, you know, nobody was really worried about it. Like, oh, they went to Hawaii on their honeymoon after, mm-hmm, all this. Like, they really didn't care.
No. They felt like they had the right to kill all these people.
Yeah. So, you know, not cremating the body, well, it doesn't matter. You know, when the end of the world comes, what is that going to matter?
Right.
We're doing God's work here. So we kill who we need to kill, and there's no reason to cover the evidence because we're not going to go to trial. We're not going to go to court.
Yeah, but okay, so on the flip side, having grown up in an apocalyptic, mm-hmm, cult, if you think the world's going to come in June 21st, 2021 or, mm-hmm, 2020 or whatever that date was, then why would you spend the money on a grave? Why would you? It's so much cheaper cremation and to go through that route. Why would you spend the money if you know the end of the world is coming in a few months?
Because you still have to do what is morally, I'm using my air quotes here, morally correct.
I don't know. If somebody knows if Mormons have an issue with cremation, but
no, I never even thought about that. Yeah.
Maybe that's why he didn't do it. So they did. They exhumed her. And that's another funny part, because we have not discussed any of this, really.
Yeah.
The last couple of days, we've been too busy. So it's funny that you're bringing this up, because the defense attorney keeps saying, when they dug up her body... When they dug up her body.
Like it's a bad thing.
Yeah. Instead of using the word exhumed.
You're right.
And he's making a big deal of it, that, mm, that they exhumed her and that consideration wasn't given to the family for the exhumation. Because the police, they're just trying to solve a problem. They're just trying, yeah, to solve a case here. So initially the coroner said that she died of natural causes. And then once all of the facts kind of come together and they exhumed her body, then I think they came back and said, no, it was asphyxiation is how she died. So I'm sure that's all that hasn't been presented yet.
So that's a known that another autopsy was done and it came back that she was basically choked.
Yeah, but if you're I think smothered. I think that's the theory at this point. But if you're a defense attorney, you're going to say, listen, the first coroner report said it was natural causes. Mm-hmm. And then you guys came back after you're trying to pin all this on this my client saying it's not. I mean, so everything he's saying is valid. And he's pointing out all the right things. And sometimes when these detectives are up there testifying, I'm hearing his words in my head. So I'm sure the jury is also because... Mm-hmm. They're testifying more about what a horrible person and a liar Lori Vallow is. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of playing. And so he doesn't even get up there and really ask any additional questions because they're pretty much proving she's a terrible person.
Great. Yeah.
And he's like, that's what I've been saying the whole time.
Yeah. What about Chad? What do you have on Chad? Yeah.
And up to this point, other than that police, I haven't really seen it.
Mm-hmm.
But... it's funny. And he's also, because he's pinning the most of the murders, I think he's throwing Melanie and David out, but I think mostly he's pinning it on the brother, Alex. Mm-hmm. He said, yes, they have an oddly close relationship. And I was like, do they have a Lannister close relationship? And he was like,
as always, just, we pay their debts. So yeah.
It's an oddly close relationship.
Oh, God.
But he's such a funny lawyer because this is the one thing we did joke about. He's kind of like, I'm a simple Southern Idaho lawyer. I may be getting old. Could you repeat that for me?
Yeah.
I'm not sure I understood what you just said, being a simple Idaho lawyer.
But that works.
Oh, my God.
That can definitely work.
Yeah.
You know?
Did you? And he's like, I'm a simple Idaho lawyer. Did you just say... that there is nothing that ties my client to this murder? And the detective is like, yep.
Yep.
We don't have enough evidence to prosecute for the husband's murder.
Yep.
So the
thing to remember with this, too, is something that's kind of going through my mind is Manson didn't kill anyone either.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So just, and it is a little bad that they're tying everything to, I didn't kill these two people.
Like that's a good point. I haven't thought about that, but yeah.
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 Just and with liability or whatever you want to, you know, call this of a murder or murders, you know, there's other things that are going on as well in other court cases that are tied to just because you didn't pull the trigger just because you're not the one that signed the check or, you know, did this doesn't mean that you're not culpable for what occurred.
Right.
And he might even pull, oh, it's my First Amendment that I can say this kind of stuff. No, that's not how it works. And that's been proven too in the Supreme Court. So he might not be directly tied to any of these killings. Like, he didn't go to do it. He didn't pull the trigger. He didn't smother the wife. He didn't do any of this stuff, right? And that might be true. That does not mean that he's not guilty.
Right.
That just means he's not guilty of first-degree premeditated murder.
Well, they're going for the death sentence, death penalty for him. So it definitely would be first-degree murder.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. I mean, Manson did not physically kill anybody, but he's the orchestrator. And it could be very similar to Chad. Chad's the orchestrator of these murders. And Alex was the executioner.
Yep. I mean, there's even penalties for someone that infers, not even directly says, just infers that, you know, you should go, oh, you know, my husband's hurting me, my husband's beating me, and then you know, their lover goes and kills the husband. That person's still liable for that shit.
Hmm.
You don't get off scot-free because you kind of nudge someone towards murder.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think that's probably where they're going with all this. And they're pulling financial. These people are really obsessed with money and more money. And they're so.
Now, when you say these people, so I want to be very clear. Does that include Lori? Because.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
She is as materialistic as they come.
Interesting.
And it's just gross. The whole thing is gross. So one of the reporters that I was watching, he said, okay, what happened? Like, say they got away with all this. And what happened when the money ran out? Because they were so money obsessed based on the evidence that we saw. Just emails back and forth about money, 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 and how much they got. And then they were still stealing the children's Social Security. And
wow.
It just, and all the lies and all the financial lies. And
it's so weird because it feels like it's two conflicting stories. It's this apocalyptic cult where they're doing God's work by killing zombies versus we need money so we can live, you know, lavishly and go to Hawaii on our honeymoon.
Yeah.
Those two things bump. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's weird. I mean, these people were up in La La Land. They just.
That's just so weird. The reason I want to explain myself a little bit on that, on why I'm feeling this way, is that typically when you see, and it's why I've in the past have made a difference between the cult leader and the followers.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel, and that's why one of the questions I had was there ever been a cult leader that woke up during full-on fledged, you know, I'm a cult leader. Holy crap, I'm a cult leader. I need to stop doing this.
Yeah.
You know, versus cult members waking up. I feel that there's every cult leader is a grifter and a con man kind of built in. You know, you say the right things at the right time. You do the right things at the right time.
A manipulator.
Exactly. So, so typically when I see kind of corruption, it's always the cult leader alone. And this is where I'm kind of getting to is Lori and Chad in cahoots on this kind of fake, this cult. Were they both leaders, or was she was a follower? Because typically, and again, I'm not an expert. It's only what I've seen, and I, you know, any documentary I'll watch. It's kind of like every step is very similar on what people do, but they give up all their shit. They give up everything. They give it to the cult leader where he can drive Rolls Royce around in batshit country, you know. It's not typically the cult members who are all about the money at the same time as believing in this apocalyptic cult. Because if you really were a true believer, you'd be like, money doesn't matter. None of that matters. What we need to do is we need to do the right thing so we are preparing for whatever the end of times is.
Mm-hmm.
Like Rial. Like, he at least was like, I'm going to, you know, we need to build this thing up and I need to sleep with as many women and, you know, have them naked around me. It tracks.
Right. Well, I think there's a lot we don't know.
Of course.
And there's a lot we don't know because Melanie Gibb is a very unreliable narrator and she is the friend that turned on them.
Right.
She is difficult and wants to make herself look good and still has not woken up. So it's challenging to get accurate information
from a person. And she has an agenda too.
And she has an agenda. Mm-hmm. So when you're dealing with somebody who still believes 1000% in this gobbledygook and then is unreliable and is still trying to make themselves look good, you don't know. So I think what the prosecution is saying or what they're trying to prove is that they would kind of jockey back and forth in leadership.
Oh, that's interesting.
So sometimes Lori was the leader, sometimes Chad was the leader, but they were both in cahoots and both master manipulators. Now Lori is definitely a master manipulator. Mm. Chad's just a dumb fuck. He really is just he's like a lump of flesh.
Yeah.
He's like a mumbling lump of flesh.
Oh my God. So it makes you wonder, is Lori really not mastermind, but the main catalyst for the belief?
I think so. That's what the prosecution, that's what the defense attorney is saying,
mm-hmm.
that it's all her. She's the one.
Right. But.
And it could be, he could be totally right, right?
Chad could be totally innocent. I don't think he is. But anyways, yeah. And like, Chad's got land. Let's go bury the bodies there. Chad's got this. Let's go do this. We need money. Let's go do this. But, you know, again, I've made this comment. If me and you went on vacation and right before we left, because we're far away, right before we left, you killed the children, and then I have reporters asking where our children are, I'd be like, what the actual fuck?
Right.
What is going on here?
Mm-hmm.
We need to go back right now. Why are they asking us where our children are? Nicole, why aren't you worried about this?
Yeah.
Like, I would be freaking the hell out.
Yeah, well, I mean, even today we got a crazy text message from our daughter in middle school.
My God, yeah.
And then we're, like, calling the school, freaking out. Like, what is going on?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, and that, I think that's what caused this story to blow up the way it did, was her response to missing children was just unacceptable, was absolutely... Both of them.
Just like, if she was the mastermind, then he was the absolute willing participant.
Oh, completely, completely,
yeah,
completely.
So for him to say it was all her, again, dude, that doesn't give you a free pass.
No. And I think,
I think he's looking for, like, manslaughter and not murder one.
I think he's looking to get out of the death penalty. I think that's what they're... There, because the evidence is just so much there.
Do you think he would have
tried to save his life?
Yeah. Do you think he would have pled guilty if it was for a lesser charge?
And that's, I don't know. Like, I don't know why they didn't. I feel bad for all the taxpayers. Like, this is, like, we're paying Social Security for this horrible human.
Mm-hmm.
And then. Now the taxpayers are paying millions for these court cases.
Yep.
And it's like...
And now we have to pay for him to be housed in a jail, too. Well, the people of Idaho do.
That's why I'm like, Detective Wheeler, he's got a constitution made of iron. Because, I mean, they're in the middle of nowhere. They don't deal with this kind of... no one really deals with this kind of stuff. I mean...
Yeah.
Even in big cities like we live in, murder children is a big freaking deal affects police officers psychologically till they die.
Yeah.
They're a little bit more, they have a little bit more resources and have the constitution if they're in bigger cities. But I just feel so bad for these. They probably moved to the small town to be... like happy and not as much stress, or who knows.
So okay, let me ask this question for you. So they moved from Arizona to Idaho, is that right? Lori did. Where was she before she met Chad and moved to?
I'm not 100% sure, but I think it was Arizona.
Yeah.
I think so.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So so was her house big enough for a compound, her property that was in Arizona? And I think the answer is no.
No, and they were living in some shithole in Idaho.
Well, I'm thinking about Chad's. It's not great, but it's looked like a big piece of property.
Well, they were saying part of their their prophecy predictions was that Rexburg, Idaho was going to be where the promised people were going to live. Right. Like some kind of Rexburg, like, Idaho was like the promised land.
Like Salt Lake City, like, yeah, that makes sense.
Zion.
Yeah.
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 And so
let me guess, that just happened to be where he's from, right?
Yeah, he's in Rexburg, Idaho.
Yeah.
And that's where so he was trying to get everyone to move to Rexburg, Idaho so they could survive the coming apocalypse. And then they did their honeymoon in Hawaii. So they all moved to Rexburg. I don't know if the daughter, Tylee, if she ever spent really much time there.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like she was murdered right as they were going there. And that's another thing the defense attorney mentioned is Tylee's the daughter. What did Tylee know?
Right.
Did Tylee know they were planning on murdering the husband? Did Tylee know about these things? Did Tylee know that they were planning on murdering the wife? Maybe that's why Alex, the brother, killed her.
Right.
Because of what she knew. And it didn't have anything to do with Chad. It was about Alex and Lori and what did Tylee know.
And I vaguely remember this, that he was labeling the kids as zombies too.
He did.
And so if you're conditioned that all zombies must be murdered,
mm-hmm.
then, I mean, that's kind of a death sentence.
Right. Remember we asked, this reminds me of a story. We don't know very many Jewish people,
mm-hmm.
but you had worked with somebody who was Jewish,
yes.
who knew the Torah really well.
Mm-hmm.
And we asked him, you know, there's a story in the Bible where I think it's Noah comes and they kill all of the hybrid humans that were half giant, half angel, half human. And I think they were called the Nephilim.
Yes.
And it's such a strange story. Like, God came just to kill these hybrid beings.
Yeah. Right.
And what were these hybrid beings, like, in the Jewish faith? Like, what were those hybrid beings for? And we asked him, like, what does this story mean? And he said, it was a way for them to dehumanize another tribe,
yep.
another culture.
Yep.
And
so people that were slightly taller than you or slightly shorter than
that you. That it's okay to murder them because yep. they're not really human.
They're not human.
And that's exactly what he was doing.
Yep. And again, I boil this down to, yes, okay, maybe he didn't pull the trigger, but that sure as hell is pointing the person right to the direction to do it.
Right. He had this graph, this spreadsheet, where he was percentageizing, I don't even know if that's a word, people.
Mathing.
He was mathing their dark scale.
Yeah. Yeah.
We would, like, you are 100% dark. maybe not 100%. Because maybe like 99.9, there's 1% where, like, we still feed our children.
I have a choice. I'm awesome.
We have some light in there. Some light. Yeah, that whole blessing of Alex that mm-hmm. that you heard where he's like, marble mouth, marble mouth slug. She's in the back crying. You hear her crying.
Yeah.
It's so weird. It's just gross and weird. And it could be that blessing was the reason why gave him solace after to murder. Like, what was that?
Mm-hmm.
It was just a mumbling, rambling grossness. But
yeah.
What was that?
Yeah. I had no idea.
No, it's just so weird. I don't know if that's a Mormon thing. Another thing they talked about, I don't know if they talked about this. I have it in my notes, but apparently Chad would receive his prophecy. He would sit in his portal and receive prophecy. I'm like, you're going to sit in your prayer. I want to sit in my portal. And what am I going to receive? Usually when I'm sitting in my portal, I'm reading Reddit.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, there's other things I can do in incognito mode when I'm in my portal.
When you're sitting in your portal.
Yeah. That is, oh God. That is,
I'm going to sit in my portal.
That is such a thing. Oh man. It just goes back to that prophet thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's exactly the same with the Lori trio. Mm-hmm.
The thruple.
where they were doing their pen papers, and they were doing stuff called castings, and they have these weird words for just weird,
because casting seems more like witchcraft or something like
that. A lot of it seems like witchcraft. Sitting in portals, doing casting, zombies. I mean, that's all pagan witchcraft stuff. Yeah. So it's a very strange
thing. I can get behind. You know, I don't have a problem with that. It actually is more based on reality in my mind than a lot of the other stuff that I've heard. But, you know, don't just start talking about now you want to kill those people because they're... you can't have it both ways, man.
Because you sat on your portal.
I sat on your portal, yeah.
It's just so weird. So weird. So I don't even know if we're like halfway through or a third of the way through, but...
Oh, you mean the trial?
The trial, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this was only really second day of the trial, right?
No, it's day five. Well, so 5 days.
I thought that they were doing... Oh, that's right. Last week was jury selection.
Right.
That's right. I remember now.
So we are on day five. A lot of information, a lot of, like, just financial records and emails going back and forth and fake emails going back and forth and... affairs being discovered and not discovered. And
wow.
And just normal stuff.
Yeah.
Not normal stuff. I don't know why.
Well, I mean, normal stuff for this kind of thing. Yeah. But what's good about showing all of that is intent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, because I think it's easier for the average person to understand these murders in the terms of money than it would be to understand it in the terms of religious doctrine.
Right. Well, that's the lawyer. I'm a simple Idaho lawyer, and I'm not a Mormon. I don't know much about Mormon. And there was this dialogue between him and a detective, and the detective was like, yeah, I was raised Mormon, and I left when I was 18.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, then you know more than I do. And what does a casting mean? And what does this mean? And the guy's like, I don't know.
Never heard of it before.
Don't know. Yeah. Go get a Mormon expert. I'm not it.
Yeah. And you shouldn't be asking the police officer what a casting is. That's not his job.
Yeah.
And actually... if any answer that he would have given should have been stricken immediately afterwards, because he's not a Mormon. He's not a Mormon expert.
Yeah.
You could be raised Mormon for 50, 60 years. That doesn't make you an expert on the religion.
Yeah.
You know, that makes you a Mormon.
Yep.
And yeah, that question should have never have been asked. And I'm surprised that the prosecution didn't object to that.
They don't object as much as the defense does.
I heard they objected like five different things, and I was in there for a few minutes.
He's doing his job.
Absolutely,
he's like really doing his job.
Well, there is a point too, because you know one of the things I love doing is listening to like lawyers talking about what actually occurs in law. In the courtroom. That's the word. There was a word there, is that one, there is oftentimes a reason why a lawyer will not object to things which should be objected to. One, he's letting the other team say stuff that's actually benefiting him.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that they didn't object to it is because he's letting them go, yeah, you don't know anything about Mormonism and you're bringing... you know, you're defending this guy about Mormon beliefs. So maybe you should get a Mormon expert to testify. So you asking a police officer is just making you look stupid. You know, it really is. It's like, that's not a good thing, you know, that he's asking questions to a police officer about Mormon beliefs, you know? So and on the other side, a lawyer that objects a lot, you kind of get the way that I was told this, or not I was told this, but the way it was explained was that you kind of got like a finite, it's like timeouts, right? And after you use so many of your timeouts, nobody's taking you seriously anymore.
The jury gets sick of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I object. I object. I object. I object. It's like, okay, just shut up. You know, like seriously, let people talk and ask a question. And that also doesn't look, can backfire as well. So yes, you might have a legitimate reason to object, but objecting over everything can wear the jury out, where the jury just wants to go home and have a sandwich.
Yeah, well, none of these people are going home anytime soon, and they know that.
Yes.
they are there for the long haul.
Yeah.
Poor things.
So, and that kind of stuff matters to how a juror feels about the lawyer of a defendant as well.
Well, if I was a juror, I would think this is a good lawyer. Mm-hmm. Having seen some really terrible lawyering.
Yes, yes.
This is a really good lawyer. And because we didn't get to see really anything of the Lori Vallow trial, I don't know what her legal team did or didn't do.
Yeah, she doesn't seem like the person that would work with her legal team.
No.
Well.
No.
And Chad seems like he's going to tell the lawyer every single little thing that he knows and work with him and do exactly what he's told to do.
Yep. Yep. I agree with that. So to kind of wrap things up, the last detective that really impressed me was the detective Consitis. And
is that really his name?
Consitis? It is Consitis. Wow. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's how you say it, Consitis. And he was going through the financial of everybody, the numbers, and he found the finance, and then he turned it over to the FBI, and just numbers, numbers, numbers. And
was he in Arizona law? Or was he?
I don't know.
Okay.
And every time he talked, every time JJ, he started to cry. Mm. He held it together with Tylee, but every time he talked about JJ's financials, he started to cry. And I just started crying listening to him.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like maybe he has an autistic grandchild, because there was something about JJ that just got him, just got him emotionally. Mm-hmm. I felt so connected and sorry for him. But he was able to pull it together, say what he needed to say, but he was not doing well for whatever reason. So my heart goes out to these detectives and what they had to go through for these horrible slug humans and what they're having to relive now through this trial, and to see the smugness on Chad's face.
Yeah.
You just want to go over there and slap him. He's so gross. That's why you saw those slugs.
That doesn't make him guilty.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
Yeah.
So that's it. That's all I have. I'll keep listening, looking out for funny stuff from these people, because these people are idiots. And there's always something funny happening.
And we need to have a nice brain bleach podcast, you know, where it's not about...
We need another UFO.
Yeah.
The UFO. Well, the UFO one came right after the program,
which
was another really hard one. This is hard when you think about JJ and you think about the detectives. It's and Tylee.
And about the daughter, yeah. Yeah.
It's real emotional and just awful that...
Nobody had to die. Nobody had to die.
Yeah. And they were murdered over religion, fanaticism, and religious extremism.
And money. Let's not forget, because it's an odd one.
But having said all that, there's some funny shit going on. These people be funny.
Yeah.
And this lawyer, he's funny.
Yeah.
And so I think we'll find some as the trial continues, and to see how they throw Melanie Gibb under the bus, because that woman is a piece of work.
And she's throwable. Like she's...
Yeah.
Like she has enough on her that she could be thrown on the bus pretty easily. Yeah. Yeah.
And I think she definitely made a deal with the prosecution.
Yeah.
And he's going to use that.
Yeah.
Because she is a piece of work.
Yeah.
And she needs to go touch some grass.
So here's a question then. What's your predictions? What's your predictions for the end of the, for the where this is going to go?
I think he's going to be convicted.
So murder one?
Yeah. Yeah. If he gets the death penalty, that's where I'm kind of 50-50 on.
Mm-hmm.
If he gets the death penalty. But I think if there are any more like real normal Mormons mm-hmm. that are on the jury. I think they're going to be so angry at the bastardization
yeah.
of their religion.
Yes.
Because part of their religious tenets is to make babies and have lots of children.
Yeah.
So by killing children, you're basically going against your core
beliefs.
Like one of the top core beliefs. So I think that'll go against them. And it's really hard to listen to the evidence and not really see his hand in all of it, mm-hmm. even though, yeah, Lori's crazy and she was crazy before they met and
right.
they were a volatile couple. So I think he's going to definitely get convicted. Whether he gets the death penalty, we'll see.
Yeah.
All right. That's the end of the podcast. If you listened this far, thank you. We really appreciate it. And you have a wonderful evening.
Thanks a lot, guys. And make sure you like and subscribe. Appreciate it.